Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Coming up next is a sermon from our 2016 building dedication meetings hosted at a Glorious Church Fellowship in Collinsville, Oklahoma, home of Billy Brim Ministries. Stay tuned to the end of our broadcast to find out how you can get your copy of this anointed series today.
Jesus said, if you want to know when I'm coming, you behold Israel. Israel is God's timepiece on the earth right now to determine when Jesus is coming. Joel chapter 1 verse 7, that is the fig tree. You don't have to turn there. Then all the trees. These trees are trees of nations. You're not going to find United States of America listed in the nations to watch. It is a stretch. Why? We're the new kid on the block. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. She was not on the scene whenever Jesus was speaking to the disciples about watching the nations. She was not on the scene whenever Daniel was interpreting the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. These nations, as nations that are touching Jerusalem, we'll look at them in a minute, but let's look at verse number 30. When they now shoot forth these nations of prophecy, you see and know. Have you ever heard of Kenneth E. Hagin? He has a message called Seeing and Knowing. Well, this is a time for seeing and knowing. Amen. Of your own selves that summer, underline the word summer. Summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand. Verily, I say unto you, Jesus is saying, I promise to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's what verily means. I say unto you, this generation, what generation? This generation that sees Israel as a fig tree come to her place. This generation that sees these nations of prophecy come to their place shall not pass away until all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now you have Luke. All right, now you have Daniel chapter 2. Remember Jesus mentioned about, you know that summer is nigh. What does that mean? Well, summer is a time of their threshing. What does threshing mean? That's when they judge the wheat. That's when they take their threshing instruments, thrush them into the wheat, and the wind would carry away the light stuff, which was not good, the chaff, and the heavy wheat, the goodness, would fall back to the threshing floor. Now, this threshing floor was called the Jebusite threshing floor. And David mentions it in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, where David got in trouble and he asked for a place to have sacrifice, and the Lord showed him supernaturally an angel, and that was the place, that was the Hamakom, that Jebusite threshing floor. And David bought it. And that, my friends, that Jebusite threshing floor is the place of the rock. It's on Mount Moriah. It's the place where the temple was. It was the place where they could have sacrifice. And David said, my goodness, I didn't realize it, but I have found the place. Now we can build a house for God. But they couldn't build a temple for him until they found the place. And that place was that Jebusite threshing floor. You see, Jesus is going to come to that Jebusite threshing floor, and he's going to judge the wheat. And the shaft is going to carry away the bad. The wind is going to carry it away. And the good. Now, that's not you and I. That's the Jews. Now, let's look at him, where he's going to come and judge this week. Go to Zechariah. Hallelujah. Is this making sense? Or am I? I'm like, Holy Ghost. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, he helps us. Chapter 12, verse 1. The burden of Zechariah. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord. Oh, I love, he gives himself a commercial. The Lord which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people. That word people is nations round about. Have you ever, it's supernatural how Jerusalem is in the business of every government on the earth. Verse number 3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. You better not, State Department, divide Jerusalem. This two-state solution would divide East Jerusalem from the rest. And it's in East Jerusalem where all the Bible accounts and where the rock is. My goodness, we don't have time to turn there, but this is when Jesus comes and he's getting ready to do the threshing floor. He's getting ready to judge these nations. But you and I are going to be caught up together with him. We're not part of this. And look at verse number 9 of that same chapter. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against who? Jerusalem. And I will pour upon, now here's a different group of people, the house of David. Who's that? The Jews. I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of what? Grace and what? And supplications. Don't worry about Jerusalem. They're going to be saved. Don't worry about the house of David. Jesus got a plan for them. And this is it. And they, is they you? No. No. They is they. And they is the house of David, the Jews. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. There's going to be a national day of mourning for the house of David. Hallelujah. And they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son. Now, verse number 13, chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the who? Who's the house of David?
The Jews.
The Jews. And to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Glory be to God. Verse number 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? And he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my enemies. No. What does it say? So they're still friends of Jesus. I remember one time I was on a plane and I was going to Chicago and I was going to speak at a conference of the rich and famous of Chicago. Mother was the original speaker, but she overbooked and she said, you're going to have to take my place. At that time, I was... Oh my, didn't sleep the night before. And so I prayed, Lord, when I get on the plane, I pray that I, at that time I was much younger, and I said, I pray that I don't get to, that I don't sit next to a man, that I sit to a, next to a lady. So I was the last one on the plane, and there was one seat, and it was toward the back, and it was next to a man. So I get there, and I sit down, and I looked at his face, and thank God, he looked like he was at least 82. And we get to talking, and I could tell he's Jewish. And, of course, if you've ever been around Jews, they like to ask a lot of questions. They still have that spy blood in them. And he, what do you do? What are you? Where are you going, you know? And I know enough from Jewish and church history that we have 2,000 years of terrible church history. The Jews, when you say that you're a Christian, they think you're Catholic. That's their first thought, you're Catholic. And they realized that the Catholics, for the most part, have been anti-Semitic because they realized if the priests during World War II would have just said one word, stop it, that things could have changed. But they didn't. And so, and in fact, Hitler awarded the Iron Cross to every mother who could prove that her child had not one drop of Jewish blood. So the cross is offensive to Jews in that respect. And you, and when you say you're a Christian, they say, you mean you don't, you call us Christ killers? You know, so I didn't want Jacob to know that I was a Christian. I just wanted to sit there and think about this meeting I had to go to and speak in front of this country club. But he said, well, what do you teach on? What is it? And I said, all right, Jacob, if you must know. I am a Christian. What? On the wall, the invisible wall started going, I know, Jacob, but that's not me. I'm not Catholic. I'm the kind of Christian, what Jesus talked about, you know you're Christians by your love. And I'm not called to change you. I am called to love you. Just simply love you. He goes, I never heard of such a thing. I said, well, you have now. So anyway, about that time, he said, you know, we Jews, we hear the Christians, you're trying to poke Jesus down our throat. Be like our Savior. And we think, what kind of Savior do the Christians have? I mean, they in church history, you read about it where if Jews did not accept Jesus, then they were forced out and pushed into icy rivers or forced out and burned in buildings if they didn't accept Jesus as their Savior. So Jacob is telling me on the plane, we Jews think, what kind of Savior is this? Who wants to be like that? And I said, I know, Jacob. There's a scripture that says, give no man offense, neither to the Jews. It's offensive what happened. I don't believe they read that scripture. I really don't believe they were true Christians. So I'm just asking you, can you please find in your heart to forgive them? And he looked out the window. By this time, we were thousands of feet in altitude. He looked out at the clouds and for a few seconds, and then he looked at me and said, okay, I forgive them. About that time, our Pepsi and peanuts showed up. And the stewardess handed me an empty glass with ice, and I was getting ready to pour the fountain drink over it. And he said, no, let me do it. So he poured it, and I said, well, toda, Jacob, toda rabba. And he goes, what's that? Jacob, you're Jewish. You should know. It's thank you. It's thank you very much in Hebrew. He goes, what? He said, I don't know Hebrew. And I said, and so anyway, I said, well, you might as well learn with your manners. Let's have a little Hebrew class right now. Toda, rabah, babakasha, toda. And I'm teaching him. And all of a sudden, he turns around and his wife and daughter are behind us. And through the crack in the seat, he puts his lips and he goes, Goy, Golda, my lucky day. A Goya, which is a female, someone from the nations. A Goya is teaching me Hebrew. Think of it. So I taught him a little Hebrew and we had fun and we laughed and we rejoiced and we had a great time. And the next thing you know, the plane has landed.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you just heard was from our 2016 building dedication at a Glorious Church Fellowship in Collinsville, Oklahoma, the home of Billy Brim Ministries. To grab your own copy, call us at 1-800-972-3447. Visit our website archives of this weekly's broadcast at billybrim.org. Looking for a home church and live in the Tulsa, Oklahoma area? Or just want to visit the home base of Billy Brim Ministries? Come to a Glorious Church Fellowship in Collinsville, Oklahoma. We have services at Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Visit our website at agloriouschurch.net or give us a call at 918-371-4589. 918-371-4589.